Hello there, my friends. Welcome to Story U Talk Radio. I'm delighted that you have reserved some time to spend with me so we can talk all about the ways you're being creative in the world and expressing yourself. My brand specifically is around helping you write your book, whether that be a self-development book or a memoir or something really fictional and wild and creative, even a cookbook I'm up for. I help people write their books. I also help people write their blogs, and I help people reinvent their brands. I'm a writing coach. That's what I love to do. In addition to that, I am a life coach. I was certified by Hay House author Alan Cohen in 2012, and went through his mastery program afterwards. And I got some fun announcements coming up about a course he'll be offering this spring, and how I will be working again this spring as his coach in the course, meaning that he will be teaching the course. He has completely created it. It's all his content. But if you care to have some one-on-one coaching outside of class, that will be with me. So I'll be telling you about that as we get further into the show. And I was just thinking about my dear teacher, Alan, and all the books he has written. It's well into the 30s at this point. I was part of his editorial staff for the last couple books he wrote. He's probably onto another one that I don't even know about yet. But way back there in the 90s, way back there, he wrote this fabulous book called I Had It All the Time. I love that title. I Had It All the Time. And there's a section in the book where I feel like he's really coaching the person who might just feel stuck in their career and not really understand that all these shoulds of what you should be doing around a career might not all be true to you. They might not really resonate with who you are and what you want to be. I was reading through that and feeling really motivated and just sat down to do my own writing on it. So I want to dedicate today's show to my dear teacher and mentor, Alan Cohen, how he inspired me in this section of I Had It All the Time, his book from, I want to say it came out in 1995. And I'm going to call the show today, Plug In to Your Passion. Plug In to Your Passion. And we're going to really focus around writing, but you can substitute writing for whatever creative thing that calls to you first and foremost. I want to remind you that if you're needing a little inspiration, if you need to get plugged more in to your passion, guess what? I have the remedy. I have an upcoming retreat. Now, September might sound like it's just eons away, but it's not. I mean, we're already live, and in the second half of April 2024, how'd that happen? How did that happen? It is a lovely spring day here in Seattle, Washington. Seems like 5 minutes ago, we were in Thanksgiving snowstorms. Time moves faster than we think it does. September's going to be here any moment. And what I would like to do is route you over to my website. It's CoachDebbie.com, CoachDebbie.com, and that's spelled D-E-B-B-Y. And just take a look at the offerings. What you're going to notice is that the retreat offering All it requires is a deposit. So if you don't have all the cash or the credit, ability at this moment in time, the deposit will hold your seat. That is, I want to say that is a non-refundable deposit in that if you decide for some reason you're not going to come to the retreat, you can use that deposit money for a different service within the next 2 years. So, retreat, September. You're probably thinking, where? Where are we going to plug into our passion on this retreat? We're going to Santa Barbara, which is one of the most wonderful places to get in the groove with your writing and creativity. Oh my goodness, it really is a writer's oasis. I cannot wait to see you there. It is September 16 to the 19. Just go to coachdebbie.com, click on the offerings, and you will see it there. All that's required is your deposit. So let's get into this. How have you been plugging in to your passion? Yeah, or have you not? Maybe you haven't really been feeling electrified by anything lately, and you're in very good hands if that's you, because I love bringing people back to their creativity. I think creativity and passion are they're kind of one and the same in a lot of ways. Here's a great quote from Alan Cohen's book. Remember, the book is called I Had It All the Time. And he says, you don't have to work for a living. You can create for life. Now, I like this. He distinguishes work from creating. He distinguishes living from life. And I want to go into that a little bit. If you're working for a living, you're thinking of the way you are currently plugged in to bring in the paycheck. Not a bad idea. There's plenty of people not plugged in to bring in a paycheck, and life is real tough for them. So if you've got a way to do it, awesome. But the next thing to look at is it really giving you the spark in life that you want if you're trading the majority of your day for it? Now, I can tell you that I've had many careers where I have felt like, I should say jobs, not careers. I've only had a couple careers, but I've had many jobs where I could tell you I really liked the overarching offering of what we were up to. But did I like the way I was making a living? Not always. For example, I worked at this fun, bustling, loud Italian restaurant while I was going to college. I don't know how I did it, but I was a waitress. And I don't have the best eyesight in the world. In fact, it's pretty poor. And yet, somehow, by the grace of God, I was able to be not only a waitress, but a pretty good one in that I kept on top of my orders. I was fun loving, I would say, with my customers. I went to it with a really good attitude. I was in shape. I could even balance those trays of food above my head. I mean, there was some skill required here, let alone a good attitude. But here's the interesting thing. The passion around it was the food. I loved the food. I loved the environment. I loved that people came out to celebrate. I loved that. But my job produced plenty of backaches. I've been dealing with a backache lately, so I was reminded of those waitressing days when a backache was just kind of a normal thing to experience throughout the day. I did get good sleep because I was exhausted and I would just flop into bed after working. But in terms of feeling joyous and creative and inspired, I had a hard time seeing that this job at the Italian restaurant would have a long life to it. And I think part of that is because the energy I was giving it in exchange for my life, or what many of us call making a living, was poor. And that means I was eating on the slim, to say the least. In fact, at that job, you could have a free vegetarian meal of your choice after your shift. And that just came with any shift you did. Well, our shifts were easily 8 hours. So if you got there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going home at midnight, and your dinner is around 11 when you're doing the lockdown. So there's no way I could make it from 4 until 11 without food. And I would sneak in the back with a big cup of minestrone almost every shift. Never asked permission for this. I just did it. And I remember in my mind knowing that it was, the rule was you could have a free meal at the end of your shift. I was also sneaking in this cup of soup and a heck of a lot of coffee. But what I remember justifying at the time was that what I brought to the job to make a living wasn't enough. They weren't compensating me enough. And in my mind, I justified that it was okay that to keep my belly filled and my energy up, I would sneak in that cup of soup or that bowl of soup on my break and fuel myself. Now, I could have done it more thoughtfully and asked for permission, but I want to come back to this idea that if you're not really impassioned about what you're doing, you're going to cut around the corners. You might not be as authentic. You might not, like Coach Debbie, be telling the truth to the boss of thank you for that one vegetarian meal. And hey, thanks for that extra cup of soup each time. Now, if, let's say, if this was more of a creating my life situation instead of working for a living, I can tell you right then and there, when you are creating your life, you're automatically paid far more handsomely. It's really interesting how you are either paid in dollars, you're paid in connections, you're paid in like equal exchange. I once had a job where one of the equal exchanges was that I got to go and stay at the people's vacation home. I loved that exchange. That to me was like being paid because I simply didn't have the $500 a night to go and stay there. But when they were in off season and nobody was renting anyway, that was one of the supplements I got in doing a job where I felt very impassioned. And that was when I was doing animal care. I was real young and I really, really loved that job. Plus, I got a ton of writing done while I was there. So I just want to point out that there is a big difference. When you plug into your passion, you're using creativity to trade for those hours of your life that you're so-called working. Instead, you're creatively living and bringing in your abundance and your money. And it's a lot different than slogging away at a job that doesn't feel good. At the same time, I just want to say there's nothing unnatural about taking a job that might require a little slog until you find your way to that creativity. Even when you make your way into that trained career, maybe you had to go to college like I had to, and I had to obtain 3 degrees before I could teach at the college. When I stepped into that career, I felt very passionate about teaching. Where I stumbled was that I found out that teaching was about 10 to 20% of the hours I was giving to the career. The rest of the time was a lot of meetings and politics and grading. And I'm not saying that it's bad, but I am saying that I didn't feel so passionate about that. I loved being with the students. I loved helping people grow. And I didn't get even half my amount of time in that career to do that. I didn't feel like the compensation helped me feel like I was living abundantly. In fact, I felt like I was living on a shoestring a lot of that time. Yet, I got to put to work some of the skills that I still value, and I find ways to use them now, and I feel more balance in my life because there is more abundance. So today's show is really about helping you plug into your passion. And I can help you a lot if you are a writer, and I can help you if you are a creative. If you feel like one of the ways you want to plug in is with your creative energy. So don't hold back on calling. The number is 1-888-298-5569. You can also go to coachdebbie.com and just click on connect and send me a note, and I will offer you some live coaching right here. We only share your name, maybe even the town you're from, and that's it. First name, nothing more. So I would love to hear from you. We're going to take our first break right here, but when we come back, a little more about plugging into your passion. Stay tuned.
Did you know your writing coach, Coach Debbie, is also a master-level life coach trained by Hay House author Alan Cohen? She's offering free 30-minute consultations to anyone, not just writers, who are wanting to discuss a big, stretchy life goal, which might include, how can I work on my bucket list?
How can I better relate to my children, spouse, boss, or in-laws?
What should I do about aging and feeling scared to be seen?
How might I double my income fast?
Email Coach Debbie at coachdebbie.com/connect for more information. And right now you can also enroll in Coach Debbie's April course, The Story Immersion. You'll receive 8 pre-recorded classes throughout April that you can listen to on your own timeline. As a listener of the podcast, you qualify to save 50%. Simply email Coach Debbie by visiting coachdebbie.com/connect. And get started on the life goal or writing project you've been dreaming about.
Hey there, my friends. If you have had this feeling that your love and abundance and your support and just your lease on life just isn't coming through at the job, I want you to just stay with me through this whole show because we're really plugging into this idea of where is your passion and how might you use this more to fulfill your livelihood. Now, a lot of the reading I did today to get inspired for today's show came from a book called I Had It All the Time. And this is by my mentor, Alan Cohen. And I was thinking if he and I were just sitting side by side today, and I said to him, you know, do you believe that every single person that finds their passion could turn it into a lifelong career? I bet you every cent I've ever made in my life, he would say, absolutely. Because that's how certain he is about putting your creativity to work. I've watched him give seminar after seminar about how people come from all different walks of life. They enroll in his life coaching program. And from there, they use their creative energy to support others that are looking for their life path. Now, you wouldn't think that that's all that creative, right? Being a coach. Some people think it's like being a therapist. I don't think it is. I think it's more in tune with creativity, helping people understand where in their life they could be much more alive and present and heartfelt. So I bet you, just based out of the trainings I've had with Alan Cohen, that he would say, if you find what it is you're creative in and you love it, you could and should turn that into livelihood for yourself. And you would be surprised on how creative you would get if you started to follow that very first thread. Now, here's something interesting about his life. The first book he wrote was called The Dragon Doesn't Live Here Anymore. And I want to say that came out, I want to say it was around like 1984 or 86, right in there, somewhere in there. And that's a little while ago now. He shares publicly that his mother, you know, really invested along with him to publish that book. And he felt like, wow, you know, I better come through with this. You know, my mother has put some dollars on the line for me. And at first, and this sometimes happens, the book did not take off. Here we are, decades later, and not only do people continue to reach out and want to interview him based on that book, but it continues to sell. It was the start of a prolific writing journey. He has written over 30 books at this time. And he says, as soon as he finishes one, he gets excited that the ideas he has for the next one, he can go to work on. He does one at a time. I know there are certain minds that can do more than that. I don't know that I could. But he does one at a time, and it fills his creativity. It fills his joy. And over time, it became his livelihood. Now, it also informed him of other things he wanted to do in life. And being a life coach was just one. Starting his life coaching institute, just another. Being a speaker, another. And I'm sure there's other things I don't know anything about. That from that creative energy built his livelihood. I'm starting to think about the idea of what would it look like if I had constant in my calendar the time for one book a year. What would that look like to build that into my livelihood? I have a deep belief that I have plenty to offer if I put my ideas down on paper. I have a belief that it would sell. I have no idea what the timeline would be, you know, if I would sell almost nothing out of the gate. and then a lot over time. I don't know, but I'm up for playing. I'm up for trying it out. I'm so up for it. I'm working on a business plan around it because I happen to know that you gain momentum as an author as you go. I haven't made that much money to date on the things that I have published, but I will also tell you I haven't tried at all. In fact, the things that I did publish and get compensated for was often a surprise. I was doing it because it was in some way connected to my career as a teacher, or it was just something I wanted to like step into a challenge with others and submit to a magazine. And what do you know? They were paying their writers $50. And at the time, $50 could show you a great day. So why not? Can still show you a great day. It's about plugging into your passion. That's what we're talking about here. And you might say, well, I don't really know how. I don't know how people start with that. I'm just going to tell you right here, there's three things. If you are in any way connected to the spiritual realm and you feel that you receive any guidance at all of what's the next step in your life, I want to say there's just three things to pay attention to. And one is that you really start to listen keenly to what you want. What do you want? Listen to that. This is a good first step because we're so trained to listen to what everyone else is going to tell us to do because they think they know what's best for us. And here's something I've learned. There are a lot of people that care about us that have awesome ideas. Awesome. I think you should pay attention when the people who care about you want to share their ideas. But I also think you should never, ever deny what you are hearing that's bubbling up from inside of you that wants to be expressed. Your passions, when you plug into them, will serve you in so many ways. But if you're not listening for them, if you're not tuned in to what your heart has to say, and you're only hearing, well, you know, accountants make this much, and real estate agents make that much, and I don't know much about either of those, but I need to make much. So I guess I'll do it. That's not really listening to your heart. If you love homes, if you are just turned on by helping a new family get into the right home, the right neighborhood, the right school district, you should listen. You should listen to the idea that real estate's a possibility for you. But if you don't care about that and you just need to find a way to bring in a paycheck, I'd say, keep listening. Keep listening to you. There's something going on in there that's going to fill you up. If you have the ability to then go deeper, I want you to take one action from the listening. And I like to call this your intuition. So you've been sort of listening to the fact that you know you can play the piano really, really well. And maybe you know that in high school, you were always the accompanist. And you'd like to get back into that. What if you listened even deeper? And you listened for who's doing it now that I could call? Or who needs me now that I could call? Or who's giving out grants for this that I could write to? How might I plug in to this passion and take the first inkling step to get it going? Finally, the third idea I want to share with you is if you can put your trust in the fact that your creativity was meant to be supported, if you can keep those funny, scary nightmares way far away from you that you've lost all your marbles and creativity was never ever the way to make a living. If you can just denounce that for a while and claim with a trusting heart that you want to follow this, you want to follow this inner listening and this first and second action, my friends, you will be led to more and more synchronicities. They will go beyond your wildest dreams. I'll tell you, this is a lot of what we tap into when I bring people together for retreats, because often we're on retreat because we've gotten away from our passion. It'd be really nice to plug back into it. How do you do that? I have so many ways to help you do that, and they're fun. And you get to do it with really nice people. And you get time on your own to really be out and exploring in nature so that the ideas are coming to you more freely. You get away from your daily life so that the focus of your life is your creativity. It works really well. And if you've been thinking you would like to get away on a retreat, I invite you to go to my website. That's www.coachdebbie.com. Debbie is spelled D-E-B-B-Y. Coachdebbie.com. Click on the offerings. All you need is to make that deposit for the retreat, and I will hold your seat. Now let's take a look at the fact that if you want to plug into your passion, you have to start to claim that inside of you, there's this wild and wonderful life that you're not yet fully living, but you're willing to find the faith that it's worth it, right? As Alan would say, if he was talking to you right now, he would tell you this. It was in his book. Act as if your vision is real and important. Now, I like this bit of advice. Act as if your vision is real. In other words, can you accept that if you see your talents as a pianist, being an accompanist, and going out there and taking the first few nudges of action, can you see yourself unfolding in this new occupation? I think it is really, really important to not only see yourself in it, but to also see the people and the experiences and feel into the feeling that you want from it. Maybe you want more liveliness and that feeling of electricity going through your veins because you're at your piano again playing and it's public and it's fun. Maybe that's what you want. Envision yourself there like it's real. Okay? Make it real for yourself. I know when I was on holiday, I had finished my degree at the college, and I was doing a lot of writing on my, I had finished the degree in my master's program, and I was doing a lot of writing on my own time. I had a writing group I would meet with, and I went on vacation to New England to see my family, and I think it was a slightly longer one. I'm pretty sure it was the one where we were celebrating my grandfather's 80th birthday. I can't promise you that, but I think it was one of those where we were going to be seeing family, extended friends, all of the people of that particular town. And it was during the vacation that I received the call that I was going to get the job as an associate professor. And I just remembered going to sleep that night thinking, how was it that easy? I've never gotten a job and had it be that easy. And really, I think it's because I was really plugged into my passion. I mean, all I did was listen in to what is it that I want to do now that I've got my degree. I'm like, well, I want to teach. I want to teach at a college. I want to teach at a college in Seattle. I want to be close to home. I mean, it was so clear to me. It was so real. And from there, I got the nudge of call your friend Steve. Tell him that you'd really like to work up in Shoreline. See what he has to say. Steve put in a call, and that was to the head of the department. The head of the department was happy to meet with me. He happened to have one extra spot for the year. I made it priority to have that interview. I mean, it all came together really fast. You know how they'll say everything lines up for you? Was one of those. And it wasn't just Debbie, not at all. It wasn't just the marks I got in school. It wasn't just the fact that I thought it would be a really great place to start a career. Many things followed because inside of me, I was getting so excited of what's possible. The passion. It was like I was plugged into a wall socket. I was so excited. And from there, it's just interesting how synchronicities all line up, especially if you follow that first hunch. My first hunch was get really clear on where this place is that you want to be, and then make a phone call to someone that could help. And everything just fell in line after that. I was at that college for 15 years. It was a great place for me. And the same is true for you. When you plug into your passion, when you take that first step of action and you feel inside, this is real for me. Boy, get ready, because amazing things are going to happen for you. Now, in the last part of our show, I am going to take you through about maybe 10 questions that are going to really help you focus in on this. So stay tuned. We have to take our last break now, but we will be right back.
Did you know your riding coach, Coach Debbie, is also a master-level life coach trained by Hay House author Alan Cohen? She's offering free 30-minute consultations to anyone, not just riders, who are wanting to discuss a big, stretchy life goal, which might include, how can I work on my bucket list?
How can I better relate to my children, spouse, boss, or in-laws?
What should I do about aging and feeling scared to be seen?
How might I double my income fast?
Email Coach Debbie at CoachDebbie.com/connect for more information. And right now you can also enroll in Coach Debbie's April course, The Story Immersion. You'll receive 8 pre-recorded classes throughout April that you can listen to on your own timeline. As a listener of the podcast, you qualify to save 50%. Simply email Coach Debbie by visiting CoachDebbie.com/connect. And get started on the life goal or writing project you've been dreaming about.
Welcome back, my friends. I want to ask you, what have you been writing lately? If that stirs up any feelings of guilt and shame, don't worry, you're in good company here. I'm a writing coach. I help people work through that kind of stuff. Because sometimes we will say out loud, oh, I'm going to write the next botanical encyclopedia or something. And then, you know, after we get through with page 4, we realize that our passion for it has either dried up, or we just need to really fuel ourselves and get that passion going again. Writing all by yourself without a mentor, without a coach, is tough stuff. How do I know? Because I've done lots of it. And I don't think in the future I am going to do a long writing project without a dear mentor because, like I said, it was tough stuff. It doesn't matter that I am a mentor and coach. When you are in the seat of being the vulnerable person creating and putting your words on paper, you need to know that you can take your vulnerability to someone and be seen for what you are created, to be guided through the next steps, that your instinct is really that, your instinct, and not some abracadabra funny lie that you're telling yourself. You need someone to sort with you. It's a really, really interesting process to take yourself through when you're committing to a long piece of writing. When I say long, I mean, you know, something beyond an article, something book form, something that, yeah, it's got some bulk to it. It's got some weight to it. You usually need help. What if you had plans to go and speak on a TEDx stage? You got to talk for, what, 18 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that? That's a lot of words. I'm telling you, that's a lot of words. You need to be really tapped into what you're doing there. So if that's what you're up to, if you are falling into that place of, I need someone to go on this journey with me, help me stay plugged into my passion for my writing, think about if the shows I'm doing speak to you. If they do, then you have a little sense of my style, and you and I could meet up on the phone for a free consultation. It would allow me to find out what you're up to and if I would be a good match for you. And if for some reason I'm not, I probably know someone who is. So anytime you want to do that, you just head on over to coachdebbie.com and click on connect. Debbie is spelled D-E-B-B-Y. That's coachdebbie.com. Click on connect. And that note will only go to me, and we can set up a time to talk and see how I might be able to serve you. Now, if you are one of those people that is thinking, I'm just not plugged into my passion. I don't even know what to look at or how to even see if writing is something I need to continue with. Let's just go through some questions here today. When you attend my retreats or when we're working one-on-one, we have an opportunity to go deep into this. But for now, let's just see what we can do with the time we've got left here together. If you wanted to activate, you know, really activate your passion, you might start with a question like this. Does writing my ideas bring me joy? Okay, might sound really, I don't know, basic. Does writing my ideas bring me joy? Now, let's say you said usually, but it also, and then you told me something for 20 minutes. You know, it also creates all this pressure, and it also makes me scared that I, and it also. Well, then, my friend, you have, on the one hand, a joy for writing when you feel creative, but you also have what we would call a little bit of anxiety. And we can work with that. We can work with that. It doesn't mean that you're not someone who should be writing. It means that you also want to be working with the anxiety that you feel, because it might have nothing to do with writing. Are you ready for this? It might have more to do with your habitual way of living. How does Coach Debbie know? Because it's what she does. I have had so much anxiety in my life and in many areas of life. There was even a time when I thought maybe me and writing should break up, you know? There was a time when I just thought, It used to bring me tons of joy, but now it just makes me so anxious. And what I had to realize was that my anxiety was taking over. It was taking over, and I couldn't feel my creativity. I wasn't plugged in to my passion. I wasn't being led. I wasn't being guided with the passion. What I was doing is what I knew how to do, which was get up every day, plan too much, and be anxious about it. That's how I lived. So when anxiety is out of control, I can't feel the creative joy for my writing. When my anxiety is under control, all I feel when I write is a certain sense of joy, because I get to pick what I'm going to write about. I get to pick where I put it out. I get to pick if I'm turning it into a podcast, if I'm turning it into an article, or if I'm stuffing it in a notebook to put under the bed for later. I get to choose. But if anxiety's running the show, all choice goes away. And let me tell you, friends, when you want to be plugged into your passion, but you don't have the ability to choose how you're going to feel, you can forget about it. You need to have a way that you are facing anxiety so that it shrinks. It should not be the ruler of your life. So that's an important question to work out with someone that can help you. Does writing my ideas bring me joy? And if in any part of your answer you say yes, even if it brings you more anxiety than it does joy, you're onto something. You're definitely onto something. Even Yo-Yo Ma, you know, perhaps the most talented of cellists, would tell you he has anxiety around the cello. He'd tell you that. But he has a lot of people he works with so that he continues to play and shower us in his gift of music. Let me ask you this question here. Does writing allow you to feel like a creative human being? Does writing allow you to feel like a creative human being? When I think about the days in which I was writing fiction, man, I felt so free and so creative. I could easily write a story a day. I was really tapped into it. I had a lot of fun with it. It was just something that in those early days of going to college, and even before then, I had the time for it. And note that this was, gosh, did we even have the internet? I don't think we did. I think we had email. So we must have the internet. But, I wasn't hanging out Googling things all day long. Certainly didn't have a Facebook account. Nothing like that. So I had all this time. That's another thing to think about, friends. How much screen time is sucking up your creative time? Ooh, that's something to look at. But when you have time to be creative, when you have time to write, do you feel like a happy, joyous, creative person? Do you feel like you are part of being the creator? Because that is giving you a lot of information that this could be more connected to your livelihood than you're allowing it to be right now. What about this? Would you be willing to write for free? Would you be willing to write for free? In other words, if there was some sort of writing project out there and they needed someone to do it and you went, ooh, that speaks to me. I'd enjoy that. Would you be willing, just one project, to do it for free? I remember when my boyfriend's daughter, middle daughter, was really getting into the work of Jane Goodall, and she had this opportunity to go to an animal sanctuary write an article, and it would be, among others, published in this particular publication for animals. She was on that so fast. I'm certain she didn't make a nickel from it. I do know she got to meet Jane Goodall. I mean, I'd probably invest my money to have that sort of experience, but it was no question for her. She was plugged into her passion of combining studying, research, and being of gifting philanthropic nature towards the animals. It all came together for her. So, would she write for free? Absolutely. And she did. Would you? Would you do it? How do you know if you would do it? It's really cultivating the things that you love and combining it with your writing. Here's another thing to think about. Would you say that because you write, that you also say yes to other creative ventures? So, because you take the time to write, would you say that helps your mind know you're happy when you're creative? And if you're happy when you're creative, you keep yourself open for other creative things to do. So, if you're happy when you write, and this can go for any kind of writing. Maybe the beginning and end of the writing you have done has been in a journal. Nothing wrong with that. Your life has been deeply enriched because you've been keeping that journal. But because you create using that journal, and because you like how it makes you feel, do you find yourself making time for more creative things? Do you find yourself making time to be in the garden because it just feels good? Do you find yourself grabbing your camera and going on a little road trip because it just makes you feel good? Do you find yourself picking up a paintbrush and just seeing what you can do on the canvas because it makes you feel good? I think this is what Alan is really getting down to in his book. Remember, I'm dedicating this show to him. His book is called I Had It All the Time. Came out in the 1990s. And we are talking about plugging into your passion. His section in the book where he brought up this idea of plugging into your passion, and note that I've gone in a very, very different direction from the inspiration I got. But his section in the book is called Don't Ration Your Passion. And it's not about writing specifically, but the same ideas. When you feel creative, when you are tapped into your passion, when you are writing and doing other things that could be your livelihood, you're taking one action that leads to the next, that leads to the next. You are going to find an abundant path. It's the way the law of the universe works. You will be on it. You have to keep trusting that you belong on it. You have to follow those nudges that you hear. But if you do, oh my goodness, get ready for some fun. If you want to take this further, my friends, head over to my website, coachdebbie.com. I would love to support you. We bring in new topics every Thursday, and until next week, namaste.